listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 7th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, glad to be here.
And so glad to have you. Looking forward to tonight's discussion. And welcome to those joining us live. We always appreciate you making time for us each and every week, and we appreciate your contributions. And thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. We've gotten your emails a lot of times, and we appreciate your insights and your feedback. Some of them have really directly affected our discussions, too, so thank you for that. In addition to tonight's broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, I'm looking forward to our discussion. We're going to have a bit more of an open discussion. And, one of our great, long-time friends of the show, Wendy the Card Keeper, who has done tremendous, stuff for us in tracking the statistics and things like that. Thank you for that. Asked if we had a topic tonight. And of course, we have a topic. We never come to a show without having a topic well-researched and well in mind. But, I kind of threw a bit of a curveball at us because I had wanted to connect with Dr. Mike, who did an interview with us a couple, 3 weeks back. And we're looking forward to having a segment on animal consciousness, and he is perfect for this. He is a biologist, a marine biologist, so I'm looking forward to that discussion. We're looking forward to having him join us next week on the 14th, so please tune into that. And I thought, tonight maybe we can kind of delve into just consciousness in the sense of, human consciousness, awareness, and things like that. And Dr. Vicki, I'm kind of getting... I'm looking forward to talking with you about this. I always appreciate your insights.
Well, I was thinking we might start out with the new additions to your home of Luke and Leia.
Ah, yes. Yes. Well, one of the great things about, consciousness and existence is being able to get new pets. And so I have, through a bit of a story, to make something short, I saw these two kittens and they were in a, local Animal Welfare League kiosk at the pet store, and they do a little thing to try to rehome animals. And they're about 3 months old, and they're just adorable, curious, and precocious. And they were, curious about the dog. I brought my dog Ollie with me to the pet store, and they just had such great personalities, and they were so obviously very bonded together. And I didn't get them right at first. I went home and I was just thinking about it, and I thought, yeah, I have room, I can do it. And I went back and I adopted the two of them because. Not only is it great for me, I get to, observe their playfulness and take part in their joy. That's a great thing about pets is the joy and, enthusiasm that they experience is infectious. But it's good for them. I hope that they, I hope they continue to evolve and develop that bond throughout their lives. And I get to, you know, watch it. So win-win.
You know, I think what's really cool is we were talking before the program about how although these two kittens are bonded, they're very different personalities. And, you know, that's kind of a, you know, precursor to our show next week, you know, on animal consciousness. But, you know, it does kind of bring us, you know, talking about consciousness tonight. And I know the Akashic Records is a topic people have been mentioning. We want to talk about that. And we will. We'll address that tonight as well. But that awareness, that sense of awareness, and, you know, the debate in science has been forever, but what's consciousness? So philosophers have tried to tackle this. And,
I mean,
scientists and everybody wants, you know, well, Descartes, you know, I think, therefore I am.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, such a key thing. And by the way, quick shout out to another friend of the friend of the broadcast, Audra. She's just got a brother-sister kitten. A brother and a sister kitten the other day before National Cat Day a few weeks back. Congratulations. And
No, I'm not having any more cats. It's not contagious. Tell me it's not contagious. I'm not going to have any part of this. No.
Well, the energy is washing over all of us, Dr. Vicky. Obviously, you're going to find a kitten or kittens that need a home.
No, and I'm done. Hey, listen, I'll tell you a little story. There was a time when I had 8 cats bestowed on me. Thank you very much. I have my life has been filled with copious numbers of animals, all kinds of critters. And I have one cat who is very needy.
Which is not typical. That's kind of atypical for cats, right?
You know, and here's the thing. I also don't. I'm at an age where I don't want anything to outlive me. So that is my thing. I love animals. I love them. But I'm kind of done. I realize that for me at my age, it's just, I know a lot of people say, oh, it's so good for old people, you know, to have critters.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
but you know how many adoption agencies are out there trying to find homes for all the dead seniors? You know, I mean.
Well, that's something that you could do also as a rescue, and I think that that's very noble too. But, you know, I get it. When you get to your age, you only have another, you know, 25, 30 guaranteed years left. So you just have
push it. I'm already on rented time, and the only reason I say rented is because you have to pay rent to stay on the planet. That's the thing, you know. But with consciousness, I mean, I'm an advocate of all. All life on Earth has some form of consciousness at varying degrees and varying levels of consciousness.
Single-cell life as well.
I agree. That's my thought of it. But the you know, just putting this out there, it's kind of defined. I'm reading now. Individual awareness of unique thoughts, memories, feelings, sensations, and environments. And of course, if you can get into the four types, what they call the primarily four types of consciousness, which is like quality, abstractness, complexity, and usefulness. And but science kind of puts it into what they call phenomenal, semantic, physiological, and functional. And look, it can get really very heady to me, you know. It's like, really? You know, what are we all talking about? Because, you know, Dr. Kelly writes about this also in the courses on IMHS, and it's really about, and as he determines it, it's qualia, right? And how we each view things differently. And qualia is simply, you know, subjective conscious experience. Right. So each of us is going to see the same thing rather differently. So how do we define it? How do we, you know, think of that? And so, to me, consciousness is whatever is connected beyond the body.
I think it's,
but also the body is conscious. So it's
well,
that
of course.
Connection.
So I mean,
I think spirit plus a body equals a mind. It's not the brain, it's the mind. And that mind is conscious as we're housed in this body. But consciousness does, to me, exist also outside the body. The earth has a consciousness. The universe has a consciousness. So, but then you'd say, where's the self-awareness? Well, who's to say it's not self-aware? You know, we don't know that. It's just what we speculate as to. So it's another one of those discussions where we all believe or know we're conscious. That's kind of a given. Of course I'm conscious. You know, I have a consciousness. But how do we define that? And it's very difficult to do.
It is. You know, I'm going to dust off one of my favorite metaphors. And I don't even remember where this came from. It might have been my father's or somewhere I picked up online, but it definitely I don't think was mine. But the idea is this. You know, you can equate a lot of things to and part of the, you know, the human brain can be kind of compared to a computer in a lot of ways. We have different aspects of it that function very similarly. You could use it as a, you know, kind of a metaphor or analogy. Would that be more appropriate in this case, even though it's not really realistic? Ah, it doesn't matter. So the, you know, memory, the brain, you know, the stored, that kind of thing is the hard drive, obviously. And then you have software, which is your instinct that gets built in and lessons you learn, experiences and things like that, knowledge that you built in, skills that you continue to develop throughout life. And you kind of have all these things that work together. But then there's the other element of all that, and that's the user. And that's the soul, if you will. I mean, to say that we are more than the sum of our parts, that is kind of the idea of it, the soul, the consciousness, that thing that is aware of, you know, the outside. And I think, you know, I'm using soul more loosely and, you know, philosophically than religiously. But I do agree, you know, everything has a measure of consciousness. I think what dictates that is perception of the outside world and responding to stimuli and things like that. Awareness is tied intrinsically to consciousness. And, you know, perception obviously as well, and you had gone to that. I think that's, you'd also mentioned that we've been talking about the kittens. You know, they have different personalities, same litter, the same age, same experiences, different personalities. You know, why is that? It's the whole nurture versus nature debate.
One immediately bonded with you and you feel a real strong connection, he cuddles up with you, and the other one is a little bit more okay, if my brother's going I might, but really.
Well, and she's, you know, she's just the more cautious of the two. When she plays, but yeah, she'll hide and then pounce, you know. She's just that personality, where the other one is just, you know, he's just gonna race at it, you know, he's just direct.
But, so could we say that in some form, if we see that kind of a personality, as we're, you know, using that term, can we not automatically connect that there's consciousness? You know, and I guess that's where, to me, this conversation can go in so many different directions. But I'm assuming that anything that can behave uniquely, it is, has some measure of unique consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, we're back to that, how do we define consciousness? And to me, that's just energy. Mm-hmm. And how energy kind of coagulates, or, you know, to form some kind of entity, or it's more spacious. You know, I think about a whole bunch of cells, you know, or, you know, well, what cells connect to each other and what ones operate more distinctly.
Exactly.
And, but each one would have a consciousness of its own.
And you had been talking about that a little bit earlier, and that made me think about this that I'd failed to bring up. A perfect example of that. You know, we're a multi-celled organism. Our bodies are a universe unto different microbes themselves. One of the best examples, I think, are like our white blood cells. You know, they're programmed to do things. They hunt things out. They have awareness. They react to stimuli. They have all these things. Of course, they're a part of our body. We produce them. But yet, you know, we don't think about producing white blood cells. That's just something that kind of goes on. So we're this consciousness that's riding around in this, you know, biomechanical mech going through life, just like every other creature.
Yeah.
And
so yeah, at that very, you know, microscopic level and the macroscopic level, mm-hmm. you know, and then everything in between. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So,
you know, I hope you don't mind, Michael. I'm going to inject to say, I want to read what Wendy has written in the chat before we start losing it as people are writing. Is that mm-hmm. all right with you?
Oh, no, I definitely wanted to touch on the,
Yeah. She said she was thinking about the Akashic Records, and one of her questions was that when she decided to look it up and see what Wikipedia had to say, and quote, the Akashic records are a compendium of all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, and intent ever to have occurred in the past, present, or future in terms of all entities and life forms, not just humans, end quote. So mm-hmm. Wendy adds, so my first thought was, I could look up what my dog's thoughts, emotions, and intents were. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that we're thinking about animal consciousness and consciousness, and again, the segue into what these Akashic records. And to me, those are impressions of all things in existence. And I don't necessarily see the Akashic records as separate from us, or a place you can go to. It's more something that's within us, in that consciousness that we're connected with, if right. That makes sense.
A couple
that's
of
my view of it.
Absolutely. I agree, you know, to a large extent that that's part of the, you know, kind of global consciousness, and I think we could even have fun with it, because, you know, the Akashic record is that, you know, you can, our galaxy, the entire, you know, span of our universe, the multiverse, you know, how mm-hmm. far does it go? Could it be localized? Are there multi versions? Is it tied into the, you know, kind of quantum consciousness type thing? You had also mentioned earlier about the planet kind of having a consciousness in and of itself, and are we not all contributing to that as well?
I'd also, and Dr. Mike is adding, plants do have emotions.
Absolutely.
And I believe they have a consciousness. And
oh, of course. You know,
the plants I've killed lately, I'm afraid, aren't very happy with me.
When I die, there's just going to be, I'm going to be circled by all the plants that I have let down and didn't water enough or watered too much. And
a haunting. Or,
yeah, exactly. But I also want to point out that Andra made, you know, the definitive point of thinking about the Akashic record. If everything is written, both, you know, past, present, future, do we have free will? And I think that that's a fascinating thing, because time is relative. If you kind of were able to get outside of it, you would see the tube of time-space, right, of going forward. Is everything written? Do we have free will? I think it's a little bit of both, you know. I don't think time works the way that we think it does. I think because we're too locked into our perspective, I don't think we can truly understand what it is if we get bigger. And I don't think it's going to be until we do interstellar travel that we're starting to get into the, you know, real kind of hands-on understanding of how time really, really works. But
well, I think that if we back up for a second, because I know we cover a lot of ground in a very short amount of time here on this program, so it's kind of like the overview of the subject. It's the consciousness being an awareness of energy, or let's say an energy with some kind of awareness, I'm assuming, and that it exists within all things if we're connected with the, as metaphysicians, that's what we try to articulate, what it is we feel and we sense, or, you know, words kind of get lost in our intellectualization. But I think we can, you know, fair to say that we all agree consciousness exists uniquely in individuals as well as groups.
Mm-hmm.
Because
definitely.
You can have the consciousness of a town, a city, you know, a place, a country, that a culture forms its own consciousness.
Oh, that rubs off.
That collective kind of energy.
And it rubs off on you as an individual, too.
Sure,
you
know? Sure. And yes, when it comes to, and this is where there's been, we have to, you know, mention what people are saying in the chat when it comes to plants. Tabitha has mentioned about insects, and bees are really sensitive. And yes, a lot of them can show signs of stress and irritation. They know mm-hmm. danger, fear. And we have to believe that there's an experience in a consciousness. And it's not just organic or biological, or, you know, what we define as instinctual. It's even if you have an instinct of fight or flight, what makes you determine that, except there's some decision making going on in there, mm-hmm. or, you know, some action reaction. Yeah. And so I think I believe that that's a consciousness. And so I think that the Earth, again, electromagnetically vibrates at so many hertz. Mm-hmm. And that's the Earth and all life on it. And each one of us vibrates at different frequencies within that. You know, cause that's how the Earth magnetically kind of sustains itself. And, you know, so when that's out of balance, and, well, we got some issues. And maybe that's why we have issues, because we're out of balance. Well, but, again, that consciousness.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, the balance is hard to find. That's the pendulum swings back and forth. When it's at the extreme edges, that's when pain and suffering is at the height. You know, when it gets into the middle, the balance of life, you know, that's what I've always kind of been drawn to in many facets of life, because you don't find the truth at the extremes. But
no, but there's lots of evidence now. There's lots of, and it is scientifically proven that plants react to water, sound,
mm-hmm. Oh, singing,
music,
you know, emotions.
Trees feed their young, mm-hmm. You know, that's a given. We know that now for the science of late. And so I think that consciousness is hard to define, but we know it exists. So that's where we go with that. And when it comes to the Akashic Records, everything in our consciousness is imprinted in some kind of recording, if that makes sense. And which I think is partly where memory comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, that us being connected with that Akashic record, like the past isn't a memory until you remember it.
True, until you give it significance.
Existed. Yeah.
You know, somebody had said, I think it was maybe an evolutionary biologist or somebody, basically said that memory is not designed to be a perfect recollection. You know, evolution doesn't care if you remember something clearly. It just cares if you survive, if you remember the emotion that it gave you, if you remember to be afraid of something, or if you remembered how it made you feel. So we go, you know, everybody's had that moment where you're on autopilot, you're going, you know, home from work or something, and you're lost in your inner monologue. You're thinking about this, that, or the other. You're listening to a great song, whatever it may be, but you get home and you're like, I have no idea how I got here. I don't remember any part of the trip, but obviously you did it, you know. So memory is very subjective to that emotion, too, to how you perceive things at the time. Memories are often altered by a little bit of our imagination as well. You can see that, you know, two witnesses to an event will look back and have, at times, vastly different takes. Of course, sometimes something is just too utterly obvious to be mistaken as anything but...
Well, just as you said that, Wendy wrote that in the chat.
Well,
so you're quantum entangled.
And that's the great thing about you know, group consciousness. Let's talk about that, too. When you're in a crowd, you have that group energy in a very visceral, emotional way. The everybody mob mentality takes over is a common saying, and it's very real. And people, I think it's also sometimes the anonymity, where you don't have to be held accountable as an individual. You kind of get lost in the group consciousness. You kind of cede some of your own individualistic consciousness to the group for a time. So, you know, all these different things, you know, how does that play in? What does that mean? What does that, if this is true, what does that also mean for other things in our life? You know, kind of the Sudoku of figuring out awareness and metaphysics.
You know, Tabitha's asked in the chat, does consciousness go out of balance when we're following the wrong paths and the vibrations change? And, you know, I've long pondered that, Tabitha, and my theory, because it's open for being wrong, my theory is that each of us is born into like a slipstream. We each have our own frequency, mm-hmm. and a frequency of energy. But with our consciousness, we can make changes in our lives that we, with determination and so on, we can make changes in our lives that, so all the possibilities are there. But if you're not following your own frequency, yes, I believe that things kind of go askew. Mm-hmm. You marry somebody you maybe shouldn't marry, you know, and then you take on their consciousness and follow their pathway, and you've lost sight of your own. Until you get back into your own frequency, or you get offered three jobs, and which job are you going to take? Well, you think the one with more money is the one that you ought to, But really, the one that had a little less money had more opportunity. And so you take that great money job, but you're unhappy and miserable, mm-hmm. and, you know, so you say, well, that was the wrong choice. So we're human in that way of, you know, and hopefully we can gain a sensitivity to know what is me on my own path that I can keep evolving and expanding, mm-hmm. as opposed to minimizing, you know, my own, this conversation, let's use consciousness, you know, where am I limiting it and not fully myself? So that's how I kind of answer that question. That makes sense to me.
Well, it makes sense. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. But, you know, it's such a interesting thing. And, you know, I think this is a great segue into something that Dr. Mike has said as well. But the thing about consciousness, about making decisions, about choosing who we are and what path we're following is, whether the future is preordained or not, we don't know what it is. So that means that we're doing the best we can, we're trying to figure things out, and we don't know how it's going to work out. We have to wait and see. And that's kind of the most interesting thing about this existence. To go to, you know, Dr. Mike's point that he put in chat, kind of responding to Wendy's earlier question about the Akashic Record, he posits that the Akashic Record does not contain the future, the world... does not contain the future. If so, the world would be a form of predestination. The future it holds contains information on future probabilities based on present attitudes, intent, and circumstances, which I think is an interesting way to look at it, you know, kind of like a prism of different possibility and choices that goes out until the light hits it and follows it in a certain way.
You know, and I agree with that. Something that I find really irritating in the quote-unquote new age circles is people saying, well, it was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. I just said that about the kittens. Is this about me?
No, it's meant to happen because you agreed to it.
Oh, exactly.
See, we have to agree to it. You know, when somebody says, oh, the universe sent me here, but you had to agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we forget that. And yeah, maybe you are listening to your intuition, and maybe something really important happened because you were following that gut feeling, or, you know, wow, you were really sensitive to that. But and then it's consciousness. When you're open to that and you're following your own frequency, yes, but you know, a lot of time we don't. But then there's alternate possibilities.
Absolutely.
Nothing is absolutely destined.
I really like.
I think.
Absolutely, you're completely right, and I think that's true. And I think almost every situation, because no matter what, you usually have at least some form of agency.
Yes.
But that being said, there are obvious situations in history and in modern present circumstances where the forces of the world, the forces of human societies, you know, thrust individuals into situations they had no control over. War zones, fighting, people invading your territory.
Yeah, exactly.
All of these things are outside of individual control, or on a personal basis, on the micro level, abductions, assaults. These are things that you don't have control over. What you do have control over, possibly, is, you know, how you react to it, how you deal with it, how you cope with it. Always be safe. Always take precautions. You know, ultimately, anything is possible. You know, stats are on our side. We do live, technically, it might not seem like it, but technically, in the safest time to be alive, when you base, you know, violent deaths on the, you know, how many per 100,000, it's very low. We just have there are so many of us. There's never been this many human beings. A fraction of a percent is still millions. But nonetheless, there are things that we can't control, but we can control how we deal with it and try to become better of it.
No, I completely agree, Michael. And I think this is perhaps a great way to end tonight's discussion before we go into animal consciousness and how we interact with that, you know, that consciousness and our responsibilities of that, maybe in next week's program with Dr. Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, Dr. Mike threw in a little funny, never knew what happiness was until I got married. Then it was too late. You know, Tabitha just asked a quick question. What about predestination for meeting certain people in our lives? Are we supposed to meet certain people only when we're ready, if we're ready? You know, we're in quantum entanglement then.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we're all here tonight and we become entangled, we're going to pull cards here in a minute, so people put your name in the chat.
Absolutely.
And that's an entanglement too. I have a friend of mine. We have known each other since grade 8 and grade 9. And I hadn't seen her in many years. I move out here. She's living here. We ran into each other probably 5 times in this town within the first couple of months. I said, we're supposed to be friends again, Susan. You know? And lo and behold, we went for a walk yesterday. And went to the art center. You know, we have took a course together there. And then, okay, you know, she's going on a trip. Have a nice trip. See you later. And say our goodbyes. And, well, I decide to go to the liquor store. And I pull up, and her car is there. And I went in, and I said, quantum entanglement, like 101. Like, there's a lot of liquor stores in this town, and of all the places to go for a bottle of wine, there she's at that one. So, I mean, we always run into each other. I know other people I don't run into at all. So, you know, and I think, well, I wonder what ever happened to so and so. Live in the same town, but never see them. So, I think some of us have stronger energies together than others, and that's again frequencies of energy. And you know, I could tell her we're supposed to be friends, and she could look at me and say, yeah, but I don't like you. You know, she could have said,
it's not your choice. We're going to be friends. No.
Yeah. So, you know, but then again, we're participating in life all based on our decisions, too. So.
Yeah. You know, there is one thing, you know, it's something that I've kind of always known to be true. Well, not always, but in my adult life known to be true. But I heard it kind of said very well, of all places, on the Orville, you know, kind of fun sci-fi show for those that aren't familiar. But basically somebody was saying to another person, you don't find your soulmate. You find someone and you grow into soulmates through, you know, shared experiences and time and things like that. But,
no, so we could talk about soulmates in a couple of weeks. How's that?
Oh,
what is it being soulmates? That's a whole discussion into itself. That's a great one.
Sure.
Let's do it.
That's not what my intent was, but hey, I'm going to roll with it. Good one. All
yeah,
right.
Let's do it. So we have a few new people.
Yeah,
in our
you read
chat,
my mind too.
You were going there. See, Michael and I think a lot of likes.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
And some.
Yeah. So for Tabitha's sake and others, our newcomers and those in the archives, Michael will draw an inner oracle self-discovery card designed by Dr. Doug Kelly, and I draw a tarot card in support of that for individuals, and we will see what is in the universe mm-hmm. as a message for you.
Absolutely.
That's what we do.
And, you know, the inner oracle cards I read from the inner oracle guidebook, and kind of it tells a story, and hopefully it makes you think. I'd like to think that... the mathematical probability of, you know, the chance of you landing on that card is really the insight that I provide. And, Dr. Vicky, you know, I always enjoy hearing your insights, but you bring a little bit more extra to it. So I'm looking.
A little extra?
A little extra.
<We'll see. laughs> I never take that for granted, because the minute I do that, I'm screwed. So, I don't understand it all any more than anybody else, and I'll just keep it that way.
We just go with the flow. All right.
Go with the flow.
So I believe we have Dr. Edward up first. And Dr. Edward, I have number 14, Energy Shift in New Chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, I pulled the Hierophant for you, Edward, and, you know, I see it more as a energy shift, new chapter in matters of the home, how you're organizing your home, organizing your time, perhaps. And, you know, you could even be shifting some furniture around, or, you know, changing things up so that it's, you know, it feels better. Kind of I don't know, it's just a home thing, organizing so that you're getting ready. Sometimes I think we do things, Michael, even unconsciously. I don't know why I just cleaned up, but, you know, look, I had company come and I didn't count on that. Mm-hmm. You know, so we sometimes do this precursor behavior to, oh, well, it's a good thing I got that organized because I have this new job or this new thing to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I have the time. So that's what I'm seeing for Edward, is kind of this organizing the home, organizing thoughts and scheduling and things, because getting ready for a shift, even if you don't know what that shift is.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. You know, that so often that happens, you'll kind of get yourself ready for something, think about a person, they call. But, you know, the subconscious and the unconscious mind and how it relates is another just vault of, you know, a deep dive of information. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could touch on another time.
Yeah. But Wendy just said that Edward had that card on May 18th as well. Oh, energy wow. Shift. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's speaking to him.
All right. We have Audra next. Audra, glad to see you. We have number 45, inspiration and motivation. Let's see. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals in the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishments may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Six of clubs in support of that, Audra. I really like that. So your inspiration, motivation, and coming successes. So I feel like you either had some good news lately or good news coming this week. So I'm kind of right in the middle of it. So whatever has kept you inspired will have give you another burst of motivation. So I feel like you got some good news coming, Audra. So if you've been worried or concerned but still feeling inspired and holding on to that optimism, she just said that hits hard right now. Okay. So with the inspiration, motivation, Michael. So good news on the way, Audra. Don't despair. It's all good. You know, keeping that optimism going is paying off.
Absolutely, and don't forget that hope is the first and last fail-safe to everything else. It's what's going to give you the power to push forward.
And thanks to Dr. Edward for saying he was cleaning his room today and getting his house organized. That's awesome. Okay, Dr. Mike, of whom we're going to have on the program next week.
Absolutely,
yes?
We are.
Like
we're guilting him into it, and don't worry, Dr. Mike, your check's in the mail on the way. It's from Publishers Clearinghouse. You're guaranteed to win. But all right, Dr. Mike, tonight I have number 16, The Continuity of Life. Human consciousness, Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with the continuity and flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
You know, Mike, I got the Five of Hearts, which is the Five of Cups in support of that, and that's kind of contemplative, and it's thinking about maybe as you're segueing into some changes in your life, it's contemplating which steps first or it's kind of like which road you want to take before the next ones, because I think they're all going to happen. It's just the continuity of one leading into the other and what are the best decisions going forward. So, and as new things are coming to you all the time. So, but for the moment, the continuity of life is a contemplation. And I think that that's a really good thing. It's a healthy thing to do is, got to think about this first. So that's kind of where I'm seeing this moment is. But don't think too long and hard about coming on the program, because we're assuming you already agreed.
Oh, well, we did. I just, I'm pretty sure next week is good, but if not, it's the week after. But, oh, yeah, we twisted his arm. We twisted his arm.
Yeah, okay. Ronaldo is next, Michael.
And, Ronaldo, tonight I pulled for you number 4, past, present, future. Really ties in with that Akashic Record discussion.
Yeah.
The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And 3, Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
You know, I just had a little flash here with the Ten of Clubs, Ronaldo, and feeling a little bit burdensome of some past decision that you're cleaning up, or, you know, having to, I don't know, maybe it's as simple as paying off a debt, you know, or something that you're hoping to finally get rid of, or but it's, you're getting to a new destination. That's the one thing that the Ten of Clubs assures you of, is the new destination is in sight. So that past, present, future, you're nearly at the destination, even though you might feel some kind of pressure or burden, you know, that comes from the past. So my, you know, my encouragement to you is that keep that light at the end of the tunnel in mind. So you're nearly there. So something opens up for you. And I don't know, I also get a little flash in that even in the next 10 weeks, something really cool is happening. Oh, boy, Michael, I go on a limb with that one. But it's just even the next couple of months, you're going to see a nice turn of events come your way.
Hey, I like hearing it.
Yeah.
All right. And all right, next we have Tabitha, new to the broadcast or chat. Welcome. Definitely glad to have you. And I believe I caught that you're joining us from Thomas Francis University. So,
all right.
Tonight, you know, in the search of education, we get a little giddy sometimes, and I think it's always important to remain grounded. And tonight you have number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts, or have more facts to uncover. And adjust opinion when new facts are found.
And in support of that, Tabitha is the Seven of Hearts and the Seven of Cups in the Tarot. What groundedness is saying here with the Seven of Hearts is understanding the difference between what's elusive versus a real dream to manifest. And, or let's say you have some dreams, but which is more practical at the moment? What thing do you want to strive for? You know, before the others, like what's sensible? So this is just saying that as you are optimistic about refreshing your life, because that's the term that comes to me,
mm-hmm.
And moving forward, it's stay grounded and make sure that, you know, you're being sensible about some decisions. And once you get that groundedness, then it's kind of like, oh, the whole road opens up. But if you're holding on to something that's elusive, you know, it just delays where you want to go with it eventually.
Well said.
So, okay.
All right.
And for Wendy, our card keeper.
Wendy, thank you for everything you do. And I know it's storming your way. Glad that we can be here to keep you company during the storm. And, you know, I pulled wild card number 4, Unknowable. And you'll have to tell
I
me.
I love that one.
I don't think we've pulled that one in quite a while. So love seeing it. Love seeing it. Unknowable. There are mysteries of the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you will change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
3 of Clubs has everything to do with looking into the future, Wendy. And you might feel a little restlessness saying, I think I might want to change it up a little bit. You know, what other things would I like to do for myself? And anything is possible, because the minute that you have that thought that you're open to future changes, it starts to move the energy. You know, when the energy can't move if we're stuck and we hold on, you know, hold on to things, you know, no, I'm afraid of change, I don't want to do it, and, you know, got to be here. But if you're open to the idea, it's like, oh. So I think for you, Wendy, there's some, I want to say, even new ideas for you coming that you might do in addition to your job. But having said that, I want to say that I can hear in my head somebody's calling Wendy into his office, would you consider to do this? So I think there might be room for a promotion or something there. Ooh, that's out in the limb. She's going to have to keep us posted.
Mm. Interesting. How wild. If you come back to us with a fascinating story, you know, I want to hear it.
Yeah. But,
all right. So we have Dr. Jeff next. Another wild card, and again, I don't know if we pulled this one in a little while. It is wild card number 7, freedom. Excuse me, wild card number 8, freedom. I'm sorry. I was flipping through the book. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means that one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Jeff, I pulled the Ace of Hearts. Now, when I pulled that, I had this, really this movement in my heart. Without getting too personal here, I want to say that something might have been blocking you in your heart or blocking you emotionally, and it's just like opened up. Like something's happened that you're freer and feeling that freedom. It could be something from the past. It could have been a past experience, a past fear, something that inhibited you in some way, and it's just released. Just honestly, it's just like a big open door with sunlight on the other side. So I feel like it's an inner freedom here is what this is trying to say, that you're knowing now you're safe, you're knowing that you're okay and solid. So good for you, Jeff. I sure hope you can relate to that in some way, but it truly is freedom of the heart and not holding back anymore. Very cool. Wow. Very cool.
I love hearing that, you know, freedom of the heart, not holding back. That is the ideal. Love it. All right. And we have, I think, another newcomer, Andrew. Happy to have you. And I think he is our last card of the night. So definitely correct me if I'm wrong here. Andrew, tonight I pulled for you number 44, attitude and disposition.
Good one.
Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
And I got the Page of Clubs in support of that, Andrew, which is the Page of Wands. Now, any of the clubs are chained. Pages are communicators. They're the bridge. So when you have attitude and disposition with Page of Clubs in support of that, it's learning a new methodology. Yeah, I want to say that. Methodology of communicating. Different terminology, different words. And it may be learning even with someone to listen and speak and being able to communicate and articulate in a more honest, open way. So, boy, again, that limb I keep going out on. I know. I guess what I'm saying to you is I feel like you're put in a position in some circumstance here, Andrew, that you got to keep your cool you know, just take a breath and say, okay, I have to listen and I have to even paraphrase back so you can make sure you understand, and being able to articulate how you feel and what you think in a situation. Look, that could be at work for all I know. I'm just saying that I'm hearing a conversation and you know, it's easy to kind of, you know, sometimes we're in shock when people say things and we can't speak, so we just have to push the pause button and say, I'll get back to this later. or we want to react in a way that is too reactive and not responsive. So I guess that's what I'm seeing here for Andrew. Hope it makes sense to you, Andrew. You're learning new ways of communicating, which is an awesome thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes thinking about that, what you just said there, I'm like, ah, that's me reacting too strongly to something that you shouldn't. Pretty much any time I get on Twitter, it's like, get my opinion across. But
he's incognito, by the way, so nobody knows.
You'll never find
That's
me.
Funny. But well, you know, we've really covered a gamut and tonight. It's a great conversation, and I know sometimes Michael and I do kind of step over each other. Sorry, sometimes Skype gives us a delay, and so, you know, it's a pause. But we're not meaning to be rude.
No. I mean, well, Dr. Vicky isn't. I mean, sometimes I just, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to throw a little bit of rudeness in to spice things up. You know, it's sweeps week. I got to keep it interesting. But it's all about the drama. No,
it is. We like drama.
No, but it is.
It is. I just have to look across the street on my street and see drama. And I can just watch it. And I say, I'm so glad when my daughter can call me, what's new? I say, nothing. I like it that way. No drama here.
So, absolutely. Yeah. But no, it's definitely unintentional, you know. And sometimes we're thinking about the same thing and start saying the same thing. But
I know. Andrew, thank you for the feedback. I appreciate that a lot. Andrew says it does make sense to him. So
Very good.
I'm glad.
Always like to see when it connects. And, you know, that's why I say, you know, you bring a little extra because you've talked with me and it's just like, wow, that's uncanny how it lined up. But nonetheless, we just go with the flow, you know, and I love it. So thank you for another wonderful and fantastic discussion. You know, I'm definitely the better for it. I appreciate everybody's contributions. Tabitha, appreciate your contributions, new to the broadcast, and look forward to seeing you again. Appreciate everybody, you know, Wendy, our card keeper. We have a lot of friends that I look forward to seeing every week, you know. I wanted to start listing out names, but I don't want to leave anybody out. But, you know, I just love seeing you. Please join our Facebook group. You can shoot me an email, drmichael@icmh.org. And, you know, it's, you know, looking forward to it. So next week we have Dr. Mike talking about animal consciousness. It's going to be a great topic. He's a marine biologist. How can we have somebody better to go over this with? And then we're going to talk about soulmates after. And, you know, what about the subconscious, the unconscious mind, how that affects everything that we do? And maybe down the road we'll have a little fun with it. But looking forward to all the topics in the future, too. So, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we sign off?
I just want to thank everybody for being here. I just so look forward to this, honestly, every week. So I appreciate everyone.
Me, too. It's cathartic. You know, it's basically, you guys are the reason I don't need to have a therapist.
You have me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But no, thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.